Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Kind of funny Alice Cooper golf story that I just heard last night.
It's time for another 10-minute podcast here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And today's guest here from North Carolina is Joe Fleischer. And I'm going to set the timer at 10 minutes. And Joe, what is your topic?
I'm going to talk about Alice Cooper because I'm going to see Alice Cooper tonight.
You are?
Fancy.
Wow.
Yeah, with the family at our fancy performing arts center. And also going with my wife, who in 1973, at her Catholic school, they made it known that students should not attend Alice Cooper's Billion Dollar Babies tour stop in Memphis at the time. The Memphis Press Scimitar criticized that show, calling it dirty and sick, and the Memphis Board of Review debated whether to ask the police to close down future concerts that violated city ordinances. When you think back now, it's hard to think about somebody who was that controversial. There was a little effort in England at the same time to get him to ban him from performing in the UK. This is 1973. And he fed this frenzy a little bit by naming the tour, the later tour, the Muscle of Love tour, and, putting out some provocative stuff. Although when we think back on it now, school's out in 18, were what really set him on a path. But what I want to talk about is a pretty distinct part of his catalog, which is the ballads. My favorite being I Never Cry.
If there's a tear on my face, it makes me shiver to the bone, it shakes me, babe. Just a heartache that got caught in my eye. And you know, I never cry. Sometimes I drink more than I need, until the TV's dead and gone. I may be lonely, but I'm never alone. And the night may pass me by, but I never cry. Take away my eyes. A virgin, it ain't never been tried.
also did a stream, You and Me. I don't know if you remember that. How You Gonna See Me Now? The I Never Cry hit 12 on the Billboard chart. You and Me went even higher at 9. Of course, Only Women Bleed was also top 20. And just an amazing string of hits that seemed so at odds with his persona at the time. Yeah, if you listen to Only Women Bleed, for example, it's, you know, a tender ballad. I listened to it today. It has a string section on it. It was AM Gold. At that time, I was 11, maybe, I think. And where I heard music was on the car radio, usually AM radio. And those broke through. In fact, I heard I Never Cry on the Casey Kasem's 1977 countdown yesterday. And later, Alice talked about this style, and he called it heavy metal housewife rock. He said he was irritated by critics who called him shock rocker, focused only on his performance, not his songs. So he decided, well, here's a song, and he made a string of them. And I think my most important to me, I guess, exposure to him was on Donahue. He appeared on Phil Donahue in 1974. In my memory, it was a stadium. I think it was Detroit. And the audience was filled with women, and he was heavily booed when he walked out. They'd done run a video clip showing some of the performance things, the guillotine, the hanging, the snakes, and these women were actively booing him and pretty negative. And he walked out there and sat down and just described himself as a normal, you know, kid from Detroit with some odd interests. I remember him hitting a golf ball during that thing, and he seemed to win that crowd over. I have seen him once in 2016 at a festival, the Carolina Rebellion Festival, and it was pretty good. And I should have mentioned earlier, he's 76 years old, Alex.
Wow.
In 2016, that show was an outdoor festival during the day, he played almost 2 hours, I think. And but did the whole thing, the guillotine, the hanging, people running around. For the venue, he didn't do I Never Cry or You and Me, any of those songs. He focused on the other hits, but it was quite an experience, and I'm looking forward to seeing him tonight with my son. And we have an exchange student from Switzerland, Salome. It'll be her first concert ever.
Wow.
Yeah, it should be something. And I've been looking at StubHub the past couple of weeks, probably twice a day, watching the ticket prices go up and down, and we made out okay on that, so we have pretty good seats. It'll be a lot of fun to see him in a theater like that.
Man got his woman. Take your seat. He got the power, oh, she got the need. She spends her life through pleasing up her man. She feeds him dinner, oh, anything she can. She cries alone at night too often. Smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Man makes your hair gray. He's your life's mistake. All you're really looking for's an even break. He lies right at you. You know you hate this game. Slaps you once in a while and you live in love and pain. She cries alone at night too often. He smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Only women bleed.
He's come a long way. Now he's playing the Performing Arts Center. Right. That's where we are today. I'll just say real quickly that, you know, I play a wide range of music here in the house on the stereo system. And, you know, my wife has been conditioned over the past, you know, 3 decades to sort of roll with it, whatever Jim's listened to, you know. And not too long ago, I had Welcome My Nightmare on the turntable. And it was one of the rare times where she said, "What are you listening to?" So, yeah, it's definitely not for everyone.
Things and babies on it, something like that.
Yeah. So, and anyway, it's a funny thing. I think we're all of the age, you know, for the most part, where, you know, we were too young to really experience that shock in real time. And so looking back on it, it seems now you look at it and say, like, you know, really? Like, was that such a big deal? But, you know, I guess for the early 70s, it really was. And we also have the benefit, too, of knowing that Alice Cooper went on to become like a golfer and had a funny bit in Wayne's World. You know, so
yep.
It seems like a much more grounded, normal guy, maybe, than people realized at the time.
He was on Hollywood Squares back then in the 70s.
Yeah.
And he would show up on the Tonight Show and stuff.
I don't know, Patrick, you into Alice Cooper at all?
Yeah, love Alice Cooper. One thing I think is interesting, you know, the album you mentioned, Jim, Welcome to My Nightmare, was actually the first album released by Alice Cooper as a solo act. Now, the first 5 or 6 that came out on Straight, Bizarre, or Warner Brothers, whatever, like School's Out, Billion Dollar Babies, Killer, and then especially the early ones like Easy Action, the band was called Alice Cooper at that time.
Right.
So it was really, you know, that was the group. And then it was later that he stepped out in the mid-70s and became, you know, as we're talking about, this Alice Cooper personality. But what Joe says is so fascinating, that dichotomy that exists between the image people had of Alice Cooper on stage doing his thing and then the diversity of music that's on the albums. You know, there's tons of piano, there's string arrangements, there's ballads. You know, it's not what you would even call in many ways hard, you know, heavy metal. I mean, it's pop music in many ways. It's really fascinating, I think, dichotomy. So cool. Cool. I didn't even know he was still playing the show live. So that's great. That's just great.
Anybody else here in the group want to have any thoughts on Alice Cooper? I'd be curious.
Kind of funny Alice Cooper golf story that I just heard last night.
All right.
From my old college roommate was in town last night, and he was a golf course superintendent for many years in Texas. And apparently, I don't remember when this happened, but Alice Cooper had planned to come to his golf course to play. And the owner of the course, who was my roommate's boss, was a huge Alice Cooper fan and was so excited and so thrilled. And he was like, oh my God, I get to play with Alice Cooper. This is going to be so great. So we practiced. He was out there on the putting green and he's practicing his drives and all this, just getting ready for Alice Cooper. And he's just so excited. And then the day that Alice Cooper was supposed to show up for his tea time, Alice Cooper didn't show up.
Oh, no.
It was completely deflated. So
that's a bummer.
Yeah.
That's a real bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a copy of the Schools Out album, and the top opens up like those old desks, you know, those old desks in school that open from the top and you put your books and your supplies in there. Yeah, the whole gatefold opens up like that. And then there's more stuff inside, pictures of the band and names of the songs. Then you close it down and it looks like a desk with graffiti scratched into it and stuff like that. It's really a cool package design.
I always really liked the song No More Mr. Nice Guy. I think that is just a really great, like, it's just a great pop song. It's got a great riff.
It is.
You know, it's really well done. But anyway, I think Tim had a comment on Alice Cooper.
Listening to American Top 40 as a kid and, like, hearing some of those songs come through school, you know, School's Out, of course, for me, probably, what, like, 11, 12 years old at the time, something like that. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, this is my anthem. And I just loved how, like, the mix would get slowed down at the end of the song and just all this, like, screwing around with the tape in the studio. Later I found out that, like, Zappa, I think, was one of the people who was, like, helped to, like, get his career started. I believe I had read that somewhere. So that had a little, like, it gave him, like, I just like the fact that he had someone kind of going to bat for him and, like, supporting him from the very beginning. And, I don't know, just something that all the backlash or, like, the concerned people who came out to, like, speak against him, I just thought, like, it's so silly. Like, we can have all these different kinds of movies. Some of them are serious or silly or comedies or whatever, with different takes on whatever. But music is supposed to be this, like, you're making music and it's got to be presented, like, in a very, like, sincere or earnest way. Like, to me, that is just kind of a joke. Like, he's got his own particular angle that he's coming from, and he's got his delivery on stage, which is spectacular. Let's just, like, take it at that and have a good time at the show. That's the way I always kind of felt about it. Like, it's just entertainment. It's song and dance.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks very much, Joe. Oh, wait. Scott has a comment.
Yes. To me, Alice Cooper at the time was viewed as, some thought him as metal, but in some ways he was hard rock, but he was definitely shock rock. In a lot of ways, some people viewed him like Kiss, but definitely in a different direction. But he is important because he pushed the boundaries that other people like Marilyn Manson definitely pushed further.
Yeah, true.
In history, he's just important because he pushed the boundaries of rock, of what was acceptable, and he just became a very important person in rock history for being a great rock artist. And he's not heavy metal. He's just a great hard rock artist.
I think you make a really good point here, too. And I think in some ways, perhaps he gets overlooked because once rock music sort of went further, pushed boundaries even further, and then you had, you know, the rise of heavy metal, and then you had the punk revolution, it's sort of like Alice Cooper almost was like, didn't really fit in those buckets anymore, right? And so I think he is, I mean, obviously he still has a career going, and that's great, and he's obviously, you know, very well known, but it's like, I think maybe his impact doesn't quite get the credit that it deserves. So
he's almost closer to glam in some ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say if you look back, I wonder what stage presentation would be any different if he had not introduced the level of theatricality that he did.
Even if Broadway,
you know, kind of rock focused productions would be the same or different. Had he not kind of introduced that. Also, final thing, School's Out, you know, at 60 years old now, I can drive along, hear that song on the radio, School's Out comes on the radio, and you feel a little twinge of, like, counting down the last days and, you know, no more teachers, you know, how great that was, what a great feeling it was.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, that's great. Yeah, he wrote an anthem that comes around every year. I mean, that's...
Yeah, and it's not about Christmas.
That was pretty smart. Okay. All right. Bank of questions for Joe.
Oh, yes. Okay. There's a lot in here. They have definitely multiplied.
All right.
All right. This one ought to be great. Joe, what would you tell your 18-year-old self?
I wonder a lot about that. I think about that a lot. don't worry. It's all going to work out. you will, even this, you can overcome.
There you go. Yeah.
And School's Out forever.
There you go.
All right. Thanks very much, Joe Fleischer. This was great.
Thanks, Joe. That was great.
All right. We'll be back again next time. I think we have two more 10-minute podcast episodes coming up here. So you'll want to tune into that. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you then.
Just like take it at that and have a good time at the show. That's the way I always kind of felt about it. Like it's just entertainment. It's song and dance.